Hey everyone, I'm Megan, the Family Finance Mom, and welcome to Finance Explained. This week, instead of the usual top three headlines of the week, I'm going to share five key factors I'll be watching that are likely to drive the economy and financial markets as we head into 2022. These include interest rates and inflation, the labor market, and how that impacts incomes and consumer spending, and finally, the wild card no one can truly predict, the virus. After that, we'll take a deep dive into UTMAs, a tax-advantaged investment account option for parents to save for your children that doesn't just limit you to saving for college. Join me as I speak with UNEST founder and CEO, Ksenia Yadina, to learn exactly how these investment accounts work and how UNEST makes them easily accessible and affordable for families. Welcome to Finance Explained, where you'll get the top financial headlines of the week, along with an explanation of what it all means and why it matters to you. Before we dive in, this week's episode is brought to you by the Family Finance Mom Investing Workshop Series. So many of you have asked for more formal education on specific topics, and now you have it. The Investing Workshop is a series of 6-hour-long sessions, each on a specific investment topic, to grow and deepen your investment literacy and give you the confidence to make solid investment decisions for yourself, your family, and your future. If you've always wanted to invest but were hesitant because you were overwhelmed by where to even start, or you wanted to be sure you were doing it right, or maybe you've been paralyzed into inaction because you fear the risk of losing money more than you understand the potential for compounded investment gains, these workshops are for you, to teach you how to invest with confidence by building your knowledge to drown out the fear and help you find the financially freeing power of investing. The first workshop on retirement accounts will be live on January 20th. You can participate live or catch the replay at your convenience. Each workshop includes 45 minutes of instruction followed by your questions. Choose the topics you want to learn more about or save money in your spot in all 6 sessions with the Investing Workshop Bundle. Visit familyfinancemom.com or the link in today's show notes for more information. Now let's dive into the 5 factors driving the financial outlook for 2022. The last 2 years have been full of economic turmoil, driven largely by an illness we at first knew little about. Lockdowns, shutdowns, remote schooling caused significant economic distress and rapid employment loss, from which we are all still trying to recover. The U.S. government acted quickly to offset these economic hardships, flooding the economy with cash via direct stimulus payments, expanded federal unemployment benefits, and advanced child tax credits, while the Fed held interest rates near zero and added an unprecedented amount of money to the money supply to hold long-term interest rates at record lows too. However, those actions also had the negative consequence of producing 40-year high inflation. And in spite of everything happening in the world, the virus, the new variant, inflation, the low interest rates, and likely the flood of cash in the economy drove the market to its 3rd consecutive year of double-digit returns, with the S&P 500 ending the year up 26.9% in 2021, more than 3 times the average annual return of the market over the last 100 years. As we head into 2022, we know more about the virus, but the impacts of the pandemic linger as we currently endure a 4th wave. The Fed has plans to raise interest rates to rein in inflation. The federal stimulus funds have all come to an end. So what will happen to the economy as it has to stand on its own 2 feet as we head into 2022? These 5 economic factors are likely to determine the financial outlook in 2022. 1, rising interest rates, and 2, the impact they have on inflation, 3, the labor market, and 4, its impact on disposable income and consumer spending, and finally, the biggest wild card over which we potentially know the least and have the least control is COVID, the potential for new variants, and how and when we as a country shift from a state of pandemic and panic to acknowledgement that this may now be endemic and we need to find a way to live with it. Up first, let's dive into the financial outlook on interest rates versus inflation. The biggest direct impact on every household's family finances over the last year is inflation. As of December 2021, based on the Consumer Price Index, prices are now up 7% in the last year. With one-third of household expenditures driven by commodity and energy prices, which have seen double-digit price increases in 2021, and many anticipating further inflation and shelter costs given rising home prices and housing shortages, many are concerned that the Federal Reserve waited too long to act. The Federal Reserve, the central bank here in the United States, also known as the Fed, is tasked with creating monetary policy to serve a dual mission, promoting full employment as well as price stability. Successfully doing those two things supports a healthy and growing economy. At the outset of the pandemic, the Fed acted quickly, immediately dropping short-term interest rates near zero, as well as beginning to use their balance sheet to serve as a large buyer in the U.S. Treasury market and mortgage-backed security market. This helped keep long-term interest rates low and provided access to credit through the massive loss of employment and business closures that we experienced early in the pandemic. But it also more than doubled the size of the Fed's balance sheet and the money supply in less than 2 years. Despite signs of rising inflation through most of 2021, the Fed held firm to accommodative monetary policy, low interest rates, and the continued use of their balance sheet. The thesis was that inflation was just transitory, a function of temporary production shutdowns and supply chain bottlenecks created from the recovery. The Fed pointed to the labor market still in recovery as further rationale for leaving accommodative monetary policy in place. But late in 2021, the Fed definitely changed its tune. Inflation began accelerating, impacting more than just energy prices and spilling over into wages. It became more evident that the labor market wasn't suffering from the unwillingness of employers to hire, which is what low interest rates actually help stimulate, but from a lack of labor force participation. In September, the Fed warned that accommodative policies may soon be ending. In November, they announced the first plans to begin reducing open market asset purchases on a timeline that would draw them down to zero by June of 2022. In December, just 6 weeks later, the Fed indicated they were accelerating that original plan, bringing asset purchases to an end by March and implying they were paving the way for short-term interest rate increases to begin by then as well. In the last week, testimony by both Fed Chair Jerome Powell and Fed Vice Chair nominee Lael Brainard before the Senate for their confirmation hearings have both stressed that reining inflation in is their shared goal and the Fed's top priority. This is a quote from Lael Brainard from her proposed testimony before the committee. "Inflation is too high, and working people around the country are concerned about how far their paychecks will go. Our monetary policy is focused on getting inflation back down to 2% while sustaining a recovery that includes everyone. This is our most important task." So what does that mean for the 2022 financial outlook? It means you should expect interest rates to start to rise. And in fact, we've already seen them start to do so over the second half of 2021. The market generally expects the Fed to raise interest rates 3 to 4 times over the course of this year, with increases of about 0.25% each time. These increases from the Fed impact the short-term overnight lending rate between banks, while setting the tone for the remainder of the yield curve, which has its rates actually set by the bond market. But it's also important to keep perspective. Interest rates will rise, making borrowing more costly. But even with these increases, interest rates will still remain near record low levels relative to history. Let's just hope these increases are enough to take the edge off inflation, which is far costlier and unavoidable in your everyday purchasing power. Some key dates coming up on inflation and interest rates. First, the Fed's next FOMC meeting is scheduled for January 25th and 26th. We should get further guidance on their asset purchase tapering, as well as indications of when the first interest rate increases should be expected. On inflation, the PCE price index, which is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, is due out for December on January 28th. Next, the financial outlook based on the labor market and disposable income. Over the last 2 years, the federal government stepped up in a big way to offset the impacts of the pandemic on the overall economy and, most specifically, your family finances. Why? Because the U.S. is an extremely consumer-driven economy, with two-thirds of GDP driven by our spending. When millions lost their jobs overnight in March of 2020, the government stepped in with direct stimulus checks, expanded unemployment benefits, paused federal student loan payments, and most recently, the advanced and expanded child tax credits. This supported disposable incomes, which supported consumer spending and prevented a far worse economic recession than might have been. However, all of those benefits have now officially ended, save for federal student loan forbearance, which has most recently been extended through May 1st of 2022. This means that consumer spending is now reliant on disposable income largely solely from employment. Will it hold up in 2022 in the face of reduced labor participation rates and rising inflation? If we look at the monthly employment data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we can see the abrupt and dramatic decline in employment at the start of pandemic lockdowns. More than half those jobs were quickly recovered, though the job gains have slowed in the second half of 2021. And as of December 2021, we remain 3.6 million jobs short of pre-pandemic peak employment. This means there were 3.6 million more people working in February of 2020 than there are today. Despite that, the headline unemployment rate in December was down to 3.9%, which by many is indicative of full employment, but that doesn't tell the whole labor market story. The unemployment rate is low despite millions of fewer jobs because the labor force itself has declined. Today, there are 2.3 million fewer people in the labor force. Those who are considered in the labor force are either employed or actively looking for jobs. And there's 2.3 million fewer of them today than pre-pandemic. If we look at the demand side of labor, or the employers who are looking to hire, we see huge demand for labor. There are more job openings in recent months than ever before reported in the history of the data series that tracks this information. As of the end of November, there were 10.4 million job openings. This huge demand for jobs versus a shrunken labor force is driving up wages. Non-supervisory workers saw average weekly earnings increase by 5.8% over the last year. Today's labor market issue isn't a shortage of employment opportunity, which is what low interest rates would help stimulate. It's a shortage of people seeking jobs or qualified for the record level of job openings there are. And it's fueling a record-breaking number of quits, as workers take advantage of the plethora of opportunities and rising wages. This is also beginning to play a role in inflation, as wages push costs higher and producers pass those costs on to consumers. Labor shortages also do not help in alleviating the supply chain bottlenecks, which also fuel inflation in the face of higher consumer demand. And what's fueling that demand? Consumers flush with cash. Normally, in a recession, Falling demand leads to job losses, which lowers incomes, which fuels further demand declines, deepening the recession. Government stimulus helps stem those declines and launch the recovery. The problem today is that, one, this recession was caused by a forced decline in demand due to lockdowns from the pandemic, which in some cases created pent-up demand in some areas and shifts in long-established consumer spending patterns, shifting a lot of spending we used to do in services towards goods. While we had massive declines in employment, disposable income, at least in aggregate, never actually declined, and in fact, remained above the long-term upward-sloping trend line throughout the last 2 years. This was a direct result of the federal government stimulus checks, expanded unemployment benefits, and advanced child tax credits. This elevated level of disposable income fueled increases in the savings rate, and those savings are still funding elevated levels of personal expenditures, increasing demand against struggling supply chains and driving price inflation. Elevated levels of saving could potentially also enable some to remain out of the labor force today when they otherwise may have had to return already. As we look into 2022, the labor market question isn't how do we get more employers to hire? The question is how do we get more people to go back to work? The ending of many federal financial benefits, the last of which ended in December with the advanced child tax credit payments, is one step towards creating the financial need to drive people back to work. But hurdles still remain, especially for women and working mothers. Access to affordable childcare, certainty around schools as schools around the country are returning to remote learning in the midst of this fourth wave, which leads me to the fifth major factor which will determine the financial outlook for 2022. Before I move on to that, some key dates to follow on the labor market and income. First, the Employment Situation Report is released on the first Friday of every month. This reports the unemployment rate and numbers on the labor force and overall job gains. Second, weekly jobless claims, which is the closest to real-time data we get, represents new unemployment claims and is reported every Thursday. Third, the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Report comes out for December on February 1st. This represents the demand side of labor, or the number of job openings available from employers. And finally, the Personal Income and Outlays Report from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which indicates aggregate personal disposable income, comes out for December, and that is due out on January 28th. Now for the last key factor, how COVID impacts the financial outlook for this year. As we look ahead into 2022, COVID and how we choose to respond to it, both individually as well as medically, and the response by state and federal government remains the wild card. Absent COVID concerns, I have little doubt the Fed would raise interest rates as planned and as much as needed to rein in inflation. Absent COVID concerns, I believe there would be less of a labor shortage. More people would eagerly return to work. Childcare would be more accessible and affordable. Moms wouldn't be worried about school closures, quarantines, and would have less hesitation about returning to the workforce. Absent COVID concerns and with more workers, it would be easier to alleviate supply chain bottlenecks and predict how long it would take for supply shortages to end. But sadly, COVID persists. And the Omicron variant, first detected the week of Thanksgiving, has now led a fourth wave of the virus, driving the highest daily case numbers the U.S. has seen yet, by a magnitude of 4x or more. The good news? Early indications from other countries and now the data coming from here in the U.S. as well seems to indicate that the variant is less severe, resulting in fewer hospitalizations and deaths relative to case numbers. Yes, hospitalizations and deaths are increasing, but cases have skyrocketed. The rate of hospitalizations and deaths relative to cases is falling. and that's relative to reported cases, which we know are likely an understatement of actual cases currently, given the increase in at-home testing and the inability to get lab testing in a timely fashion in many parts of the country. Here in Connecticut, right now it can take a week or more just to schedule a PCR test. The astronomical rise in cases in recent weeks, as well as the seemingly reduced severity of the latest variant, has already prompted changes in CDC guidance on quarantines and led some countries around the world to begin to question whether it's time to shift from treating this as a pandemic to acknowledging it is endemic or consistently present. The countries who make this transition soonest and most effectively, learning to live with and treat the virus most effectively, will likely see the most stable economies as we move through 2022. For this week's deep dive, I'm joined by Ksenia Yadina, the founder of and CEO of UNEST, the money app for your kids' future, to talk about UTMAs. Prior to founding UNEST, Ksenia spent over a decade working in financial services, most recently at Capital Group American Funds, where she realized that the industry failed to recognize that parents' number one priority is saving for their children. She decided to create a simple, affordable financial solution accessible to all families. Ksenia has raised nearly $40 million from leading venture capital firms to continue to grow UNEST. She's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, TechCrunch, and has appeared on CNBC, Yahoo Finance, and Cheddar. She was also named to Investment News' 40 Under 40 list and included in the top 25 women leaders in financial technology by the Financial Technology Report. She holds an MBA from UCLA Anderson School of Management and is a CFA charter holder, one of the most respected designations in the investment industry. Please welcome Ksenia. Well, Ksenia, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm going to go ahead and dive right in, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure, Megan. And thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Great. Maybe to get started, could you tell me just a little bit about what UNEST is and what led you to create it?
Sure. So UNEST is the money app that helps parents save and invest for their kids' future. And on top of that, the app allows parents easily receive financial gifts into the child's account from grandparents, friends, other family members, and also receive financial rewards from our brand partners. And we work with like a lot of different brands like Disney Plus, Nike, DoorDash, and so on. Yeah, the inspiration behind UNEST actually was, it was like coming from three different dimensions. First, I am a parent myself. I have three kids and I just know how parents feel about the kids. I know that this is like the top priority, like the minute you become a parent, you know, like it's like everything switches, right? Everything is about those little humans. It's not about you or your retirement anymore. And like we all care like deeply about financial security of our kids. The second thing, I was a student. I graduated from UCLA Anderson with 180,000 in student loans. And it was like definitely a big, you know, financial hit for me. And I know that a lot of my friends have been impacted. Like one of my closest friend graduated from USC just recently to become a dentist with 500,000 in student debt. Wow. So it's, yeah, it's pretty much like a national disaster right now, like it's dragging like family after family. And, people delay very like important life decisions, like starting families, buying a first house. So my thought was, why are we forced in this financial debt, like borrowing, student loans at like 8% interest, 6% interest, when the better financial decision could be starting saving for your kids early, like when they like newborns or like they're little, and get 6%, 7%, 8% annual returns instead, right? So by the time your kids are ready to get into the adult life, by the time they're ready to go into college, they actually have this safety net, right, that will allow them to go through college debt-free. And the last piece of the inspiration was, of course, I spent some time in finance. I spent like 12 years in finance. My most recent employer was Capital Group, which is a parent company of American Funds. You might have heard about American Funds because they're very popular for like, you know, choice for retirement savings. And they actually the number one provider of 529s and UTMA accounts in the nation. So I was working with a lot of high net worth individuals when I was at Capital. And again, I realized that for all of our clients, saving and investing for the kids was top priority. It was always like the first question on their mind, but the existing solutions were so complex, so confusing for average Americans, so time consuming. It required a lot of paperwork and back and forth. And I just decided to make it very simple, accessible, affordable, so everyone can start saving for their kids effortlessly.
It is. I mean, it's probably the question I get asked more often than any, like, what are my options for saving for my kids? And so UNEST offers UTMAs. So could you talk a little bit about, for those who aren't familiar, what a UTMA is and how that is different and how it might be similar to a 529 plan? So just so people know, these are different options that you can use when you're looking at saving money for your kids.
Yes, absolutely. Happy to. So to break it down, typically parents have two options to save for kids. It's either saving in the bank account or saving through the investment account. Of course, investment account is much better because of, like, you know, due to compounding effect, it kind of snowballs and, you know, returns, you know, helps you grow the money more quickly. So in terms of investment accounts, there are two main options, 529 and UTMA. Here's the difference. 529 account is meant to save for education. It's tax-free, completely tax-free, but the government is like incentivizing parents to save for college. So it's a little bit restricted. So let's say your child doesn't go to college or decided like to pursue a different career, or you decided to switch financial priority for your kid, then you actually lose all the tax advantages and your earnings get in a penalty of 10%. So it's very similar to retirement accounts, right? Like how government is incentivizing us to just stick with that, you know, IRA or 401k just for retirement. And if you use it for anything else, you actually get a penalty. So it's very similar to 529. Amazing tool to start saving, but you have to be confident that you're saving for college or other educational expenses, and it covers books, room and board, and other things. So now UTMA. We actually started with 529s when we started the company because I was a big fan of education. I thought that this is the best for our clients. What we've heard from our clients is that they want more flexibility because first, parents have just different priorities for the kids. Sometimes they're not sure if kids will go to college. So UTMA is more flexible in the sense that it's also tax advantaged and it's also investment account. You get an up to 2,200 in investment gains that are tax advantaged every year, which for average person, it's completely kind of enough. It's equivalent to 529s. But the upside is that you don't have to spend it on college or other educational expenses. You just have to commit to spending it on something that benefits the child. So if you need to withdraw the money for the camp or for the books or for private school, for anything it is, you can do it with UTMA easily.
And just so that I better understand, the 2,200 in gains that you can make a year on a tax advantage basis, that is because the account UTMA, can you tell me kind of what those letters stand for? Just remind everybody.
Yes, it's Uniform Transfer for Minor.
The account is in your child's name, and that is essentially the income that they can make on a tax-free basis every year. And so that's why that $2,200 can accrue each year on a tax-free basis, because it's earnings coming in your child's name.
Right. So UTMA is basically meant to kind of incentivize parents specifically save and invest for the kid, right? So the account basically is a property of your child. And the way this 2,200 works, the first 1,100 is completely tax-free, and the next 1,100 is taxed at the child's rate. And also, it's important to remember that this advantage only applies to the gains. So meaning you can invest, like, let's say 10,000 a year, but as long as your gain is about like 2,200 or less, you get in the tax advantage treatment.
Got it. And so, and their tax rate would start just like all of our tax brackets start. It starts, you know, at 10% and then 12%, depending on how much they generate.
Exactly.
Which is a lot more attractive even than some capital gains rates for, yeah. Let me talk a little bit more about UNIS specifically. Like, what is unique about UNIS UTMA offering versus some of the other options that families might have available to them?
Sure. So everything is managed through the app. Like, I would say this is like a huge benefit because we as parents are super busy, right? Like, we don't have much time to decide and do research and deal with paperwork and meet with financial advisor. And a lot of times parents just don't have a financial advisor to deal with. So with UNIS, you can just simply go to the App Store or Google Play and download the app. It only takes 5 minutes to create the account. We act as a financial advisor and we recommend the right portfolio choice, the investment choice. So you don't have to like think about like what's best and like I don't understand much about stocks or capital markets. So we do all this work for the parent. And we have like five amazing portfolio choices. We invest in low-cost Vanguard ETFs, which is like a market leader. And then parents can manage everything from the mobile phone, which is like pretty like amazing, right? So we basically enabled technology to help us do this like very complex task, like, you know, add additional deposits, change your asset allocation, change the plan, contribution, invite your friends and family with a simple link to gift into the child's account, for example, for Christmas or their birthdays. And actually like what we figured out just recently doing a survey with the Harris Poll is that 75% of parents actually prefer to get money or electronic money transfer for the kid's birthday versus like getting another toy or clothes or something that kid would not use. And lastly, I would say the big advantage is that every time, so we have this kind of a marketplace in the app with partnerships like with companies like Disney Plus, Uber, DoorDash, 1-800-Flowers and other brands. And every time the parent makes the purchase with those brands or subscribes, they get financial rewards ranging from anywhere from $5 to $100. So it's a very easy way to grow your account seamlessly with help from large companies.
Yeah, and for a good purpose too, versus, you know, you see a lot of kind of those apps out there that do something similar. Essentially, you're giving them kind of marketing data and in exchange, they're going to give you a financial reward. In this case, the money goes into your kid's future mm-hmm. account to earn investment gains, as opposed to you cashing it out as a gift card that, you know, you're going to spend somewhere. So that's a really cool feature. What do families need to get started with a UTMA on your app?
So just basic information, your name, address, social security, because we're opening the investment account. So it's obviously very important. And you link in your bank as a primary funding source. And we also ask 2-3 questions relative to your income level, your employment, just to understand what would be the right financial portfolio for you, like what would be the right investment portfolio for you. And the same for the child, just the name, address, and social security number.
And just so people kind of have comfort and confidence and kind of the security, obviously that's sensitive information. What are some of the security protocols and protections you have in place for linking to sensitive information like our financial accounts and personal identifying information?
Yeah, we take security very, very seriously. And all the data, obviously, like encrypted, we never sell it to third parties. So we actually had to raise 3 rounds of funding already from institutional investors. And every time we raise, we have to go through very, very deep due diligence. So they verify all the technology, all the, like, you know, how data is stored. So everything is like very secure. And we also use the company Plaid. It's a third party verifier for the financial banks, super secure as well. Like, it's very well known. It's very established. So we partnered with them to help us with, you know, linking the bank.
And people may not be aware, but Plaid is actually the financial service provider behind like Venmo. So that's who is like securing your transactions if you use things like Venmo. It's the way a lot of financial services companies kind of make sure that those transactions are encrypted and secure and that your information is secure. So that's really good to know. You mentioned, and I think this is a great idea, especially around the holidays, that anybody can contribute to a child's UTMA. How does UNEST make it easy for friends, relatives, families around special occasions like birthdays and holidays? How can people use that to get those contributions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically, once parent has a UNEST account, they select the occasion and they simply just send the link, the text message, email, WhatsApp, like any way you want. And the cool thing is that the recipient of the link doesn't even need to download the app. So it's even simpler than Venmo, for example, right? So they just enter the quick message, again, occasion, and the link, the funding source. They can even do it with credit card, and they send the gift directly into the child account with personalized message.
That's really cool. Very straightforward. And I'm sure, like, I would appreciate if my parents, if my mom is listening, I would appreciate if you contributed to the children's investment accounts instead of sending gifts this Christmas. So how large is your platform today? Like how many users, what's kind of the asset size that you guys have grown to so far?
Yeah, so far we have about 400,000 parents and kids. So it's like split like almost like 50-50 on the platform. We've been growing like very, very quickly. Pretty much, you know, grown from 50,000 users from a year ago to 400,000 users on the platform right now. And the AUM also pretty much 10x, you know, since Q4 of last year. We're managing over 10 million right now in AUM.
That's great. And you mentioned, I know you've gone through, so for people who aren't familiar, when companies first start out, they have various rounds of what is known as venture capital funding. And I know you've completed a few rounds, which means investors who are experts in fintech, which is financial technology companies, have gone through copious diligence. I'm sure lawyers have combed through all like your formation documents. You just recently, I think you said you raised another...
Yeah, we just raised Series B. And you're right. So every time we raise, it's a combination of venture funds, which job is to understand technology and understand scalability and put us through a lot of like legal due diligence and understand how like it all works. And also we received funding and backing from large financial institutions, actually, like Northwestern Mutual, like Franklin Templeton, which, you know, love what we're doing and they love the mission behind the company. But of course, for large financial institutions, it's very hard to innovate. So they prefer to partner with startups like us to form partnerships.
And what are your plans for how do you plan on kind of putting that money to work?
Yeah, so we're definitely raising brand awareness right now because we already became like the top brand in family savings and investing, especially for families with kids of newborns to 5-year-olds. We are doubling the size of the team. So we're hiring more on marketing, customer success, development team. And putting like more in the product roadmap. So there are some cool things that we are about to launch in 2022. So for example, some of our parents would like to be a little bit more hands-on on their portfolios, those parents that understand how stocks and cryptocurrency works, but also don't wanna be like day traders, but they wanna put aside a little bit of some shares of, let's say, Disney or Amazon or Facebook for their kids' future. So we're launching the product called UNEST Legacy to allow those parents to become kind of portfolio managers for their kids and select individual shares of the companies they love or the crypto, like Bitcoin, and just live there, for the next 10, 15 years.
That's exciting. It sounds like you guys, I think one of the cool things that is happening broadly speaking in financial services is the democratization of access to these financial products that, to your point, when you were at AmeriFunds, like these were things that were only available to high net worth individuals or families with a certain level of assets. And apps and fintech and things like this are making these products that used to only be available to the elite, available to everyday families. So I congratulate you on what you've built so far and where you're going. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share with my listeners today. Where can listeners find out more information about Unest and you? I know they can go to the Apple Store, the App Store, and download Unest, and it's literally Unest. where else should they look for more information?
They can go to our website. It's unest.co. And, you know, learn a little bit more, look at FAQs. They can, you know, even before downloading the app, they can just search with the app in the Apple Store or Google Play and just read in the app description about exciting features that app has to offer, and then decide whether they want to use the product.
Awesome. And for anybody who's looking for those, I'll also drop the links in today's show notes so you can check them out there as well. Well, thank you again so much for taking the time, and I hope you have a great holiday season, and maybe we'll have you back soon to talk a little bit more about some of the features y'all are launching next year.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, Megan. And yeah, happy holidays.
Thanks. That's it for this week's episode of Finance Explained. The five key factors I highlighted today, I'll continue to track every week in the Monday market update, as well as the other major indicators to help keep you informed so you can make better financial decisions for yourselves, your families, and your future. This week in the markets, look for detailed data on inflation, December retail sales, and the usual weekly jobless claims and Fed balance sheet activity. For more insights on all that we talked about today, including charts and graphs of all the data points discussed, as well as links to check out Unest's investment account offerings for your kids, be sure to look for the links in this week's show notes. Have questions about the economy or your personal finances? Submit a question for the Finance Explained podcast. Look for the link in the show notes anytime, and I'll address it on one of our weekly episodes. As always, I so appreciate your support. It is your questions, weekly listening, sharing with friends, and especially your honest and thoughtful reviews that help make Finance Explained possible. So that's it for this week's episode of Finance Explained by Family Finance Mom. I hope each week to build and expand your financial literacy, help you understand not only the week's headlines, but how they relate to you, and also you can make better financial decisions for yourself, your family, and your futures.